Hundreds of volcanologists and earth scientists from right around the world are gathering in Rotorua for the country's biggest conference in 3 years. Co-convener and principal scientist at GNS Science, Graham Leonard, is with us now to talk about why they're there and what they'll be doing while they're there. Kia ora, good evening, Graham.
Kia ora, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You're in Rotorua right now?
Yeah, I'm in Rotorua. It's not too bad here at the moment. A little bit rainy, a little bit of wind, but I'm right down by the lake and it's quite nice.
Very nice. Has everyone arrived yet?
Yeah, almost everybody. We had a little bit of disruption over the weekend and people have been trickling in, but it's a large conference. We've got about, I think we were intending to have about 950 volcanologists from around the world, and I think we'll get over 900 of those here. The vast majority have arrived by today.
How fantastic. So I guess you notice them around town.
Oh, we certainly do. Yeah, no. In fact, I had to kind of slow down for a few of them as I drove across to the place I'm staying to make this phone call.
What does a volcanologist look like?
Oh, they take all forms. Actually, one thing we're really proud of with this conference is the International Association of Volcanology and Chemistry of the Earth's Interior, who are the hosts. That's the Global Association of Volcanologists. It's a bit of a mouthful. We just call it EASA. It's got a strong focus on students and early career researchers, and we've really bumped up the attendance and participation from those younger scientists at this meeting. And 51% of the people here are people who've within a few years, maybe 7 years of their degree. So it's the younger generation as well as the older scientists here, and they look all sorts, you know, from jandals and shorts to suits and ties.
Right. What's the gender mix like in that line of work?
Well, it's rapidly changing, actually. When I studied about 20, 25 years ago, it's definitely a male-dominated field, especially in geology where I come from. There's a lot of disciplines in volcanoes, you know, chemistry, physics, social science, the whole gambit. But I'd say now students coming through, talking to universities around New Zealand, especially even in the earth science, we're balanced, and even there might even be a majority of women in some departments.
So volcanologists, we have an idea of that it's the study of volcanoes, obviously. What is an earth scientist? What's their key focus?
Oh, well, you said it in the word earth. It's about understanding how the planet works. So there's a wide range of earth scientists, understanding mountains and earthquakes and the way floodplains work. And volcanology is just one of those disciplines that brings together lots of different types of science to try and understand how the magma system under the ground works, how eruptions might happen, and how those eruptions, you know, produce impacts on the ground, things that we might need to deal with in our everyday lives.
Oh, this is pretty exciting then, having all of these volcanologists and earth science from right around the world in one place.
Oh, it is indeed.
Incredible. So what are the key themes that are on the table?
Oh, there's a wide range of themes in this conference. The diversity is really, you know, quite staggering. It's from everything from what triggers eruptions and styles of eruptions to evaluating, communicating volcanic hazards, future thinking, what's on the horizon that might be a game changer with new technologies or our understanding of volcano systems, how fault lines and earthquakes interact with magma systems, how we use things like remote sensing and satellites and drones and special new sensors to speed up or more precisely detect what's going on in a volcano, right through to volcanoes in society and indigenous peoples from a multicultural world and their perspectives on living with volcanoes.
So when are you starting?
We've already started.
Right.
So it started with field trips in the middle of last week when it was still sunny.
Right.
Yeah, climbing volcanoes and looking around Lake Taupo.
Right.
And then we had workshops throughout the weekend. The main conference is running all week for 5 days. And then we'll have workshops and field trips at the tail end. This is the biggest conference in New Zealand since the beginning of the pandemic. So it's a really big deal for volcanology and for international connection and science in general.
So how's it been going? How have the field trips been going? And, you know, how's it panned out over the last week?
Oh, not bad. I helped lead the lava ice interaction field trip on Ruapehu and Tongariro volcanoes, whose secret is they've spent a vast majority of their lifetime fighting with massive ice caps until the ice ages receded. And we got up pretty high on the mountain, about 1,800 meters, back on Friday and Saturday, and it was a bit of rain, but volcanologists are hardy. They turned up with their Gore-Tex rain jackets and they hiked off, and we got to see what we wanted to see. So it's been going pretty well.
So that's out on field trips. Then you're back in a sort of conference mode. And is it like being in a lecture?
Yeah, I mean, the conference is sponsored by us at GNS Science and Toku Tuake EQC. Main host is University of Waikato, and we've actually got sponsors in attendance from all the major earth science universities in New Zealand. And it's in at the Energy Events Centre in Rotorua. And there are sessions, there are 9 parallel sessions, big plenary sessions where people are presenting talks. Other people are beaming in from around the world to present their research on volcanoes. And a big part of this is we also have a strong community connection with this conference. We have a Volcano Fest running in parallel, and that's in the sports dome on the side of the Energy Events Centre. And that's a unique opportunity for children and their parents and the entire community to come in and see volcano demonstrations, meet experts and learn about volcanoes. And the public day for that is on Thursday. So we'll be open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Thursday for members of the community throughout Rotorua to come in and learn all about volcanoes and meet a volcanologist.
And the greater area, I'm sure they'll come from far afield to do that. And to meet meet a volcanologist, as in have a chat with you and ask a few questions.
Yeah, ask any questions. Watch us play in the sandpit, literally. You know, we've got some experiments where we show how volcanoes like Tuhua, Mare Island offshore work with, you know, bike pumps and balloons and sand. We've got an experiment around, I think, 10 o'clock or 10:30 in the morning, and then repeated at 2 o'clock where we show how big explosive eruptions work with liquid nitrogen and a massive container of water and balls that fly into the air in a simulation of volcanic eruption.
Wow, I wonder if any of the schools will come and, you know, come on a school trip.
Yeah, well, that's the hope. We've engaged with the local schools around the area, so we really hope that they'll come along, bring students, people bring their families in on Thursday. I guess the key thing here is Aotearoa New Zealand is really at the forefront of volcano research, and we're just delighted to host this event. It's the first time in about 40 years that we've had this association meeting in New Zealand, so it's a really unique opportunity to show off New Zealand to the world's volcanologists and allow Kiwis to meet those volcanologists and learn from them.
So what new insights are being shared about our own resident super volcanoes to the rest of the world?
Well, we're off on a field trip tomorrow. There's a day of Moon Conference field trips as well. It's all about getting out and looking at things when you're an earth scientist. One of the trips, again, I'm helping lead, we're heading down to Taupo, and we're talking through, we've had a large recent research program here called Eclipse, looking at what goes on under caldera volcanoes, the large network of super volcanoes we call Ahitupua between Taupo and Rotorua. And we've learned a lot more about where the magma is and what state it might be in, and also right through to how we monitor it and how we work with emergency management and iwi to prepare for, you know, unrest and the small chance of eruptions. You know, we've had a bit of unrest at Taupo recently, so I'm sure that'll be a focus of discussion tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been happening since last May, so happening before that as well. But what's the latest you can tell us about the current situation?
Well, Taupo is an active volcano, but it doesn't erupt very often, and its most common eruptions are reasonably small in the global scheme of things and manageable. You know, eruptions are usually in the lake area. At the moment, the earthquake activity is reasonably quiet. It's still at alert level 1, which is minor unrest. It's been like that, as you said, for a few months. We're watching it closely, watching what it's doing. You know, we had that larger earthquake late in November as part of the sequence, so that was a really notable event. But there hasn't been a whole lot of dramatic activity since that earthquake, so we're just kind of watching and seeing. I guess it's important to know that type of unrest isn't that uncommon. Every few decades, Taupo gives us that kind of unrest. There is magma under the lake and it moves around. We just know a lot more about the volcano and we can kind of detect what it's doing a lot more quickly. So it was certainly kind of the time to put the alert level up, and we're at alert level 1 for now, minor unrest.
You said, Graham, that we are at the forefront of volcano research. Why are we?
Yeah.
Well, what are we
doing?
That's
a good question. For starters, we've got a lot of volcanoes. So we're a reasonably small South Pacific nation. We're on the Ring of Fire. We're a plate boundary country. And we have almost the full gambit. So we have volcanic fields, like the little field of scoria cones and lava flows in Auckland. And it wouldn't be a big deal, except we've got a third of the country's population sitting on top of it. And that erupts, you know, every few hundred to a few thousand years. And then we've got, as you said, these big caldera volcanoes, the Ahitupua complex from Rotorua, Tarawera down to Taupua. And that's got smaller eruptions and very, very rarely big ones. And then we've got stratovolcanoes, the pointy cones that you see at Taranaki, Tongariro, Ruapehu, offshore at Whakaari, White Island, and actually many more in the New Zealand Territory offshore as we head up towards Tonga. So it's really diverse in terms of the location and type of volcanoes. They're quite active, as we've seen. And it's a natural laboratory for the world's volcanologists, as well as Kiwi volcanologists, to learn about how these volcanoes work in quite an accessible place.
How many New Zealand volcanologists do we have?
That's a good question. One thing about volcanology is it's widely, we say, interdisciplinary, lots of disciplines involved. You know, I mentioned I'm a geologist by background, but you've got chemists, you've got people who specialize in laboratories and, you know, melting rock down to make magma to simulate what might be happening, people who model clouds of ash in the atmosphere. So when you look out across all of that, we've probably got, you know, 100 or 200 people connected to volcanology in New Zealand, and a core group across GNS and at the universities of probably a few dozen, you know, volcanologists who spend most of their time working on volcanoes.
You mentioned Whakaari, White Island, obviously the terrible tragedy that happened there. Have our alert systems improved? What have we learnt from that?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it was really a horrific tragedy. It's on all of our minds going forward. We continue to the wider community and science community and the wider community in general continue to analyze, you know, a lot of aspects from that. So, for example, elsewhere in the country, we continue to, you know, after any event where it's a great time to learn about how things might be improved, we look at the science and all of our arrangements. Yeah, at any volcano after any event like this, and there's certainly things that can be tweaked.
And part also, as well as part of your, you know, volcano research, you co-lead the Determining Volcanic Risk in Auckland program. Is there any risk currently?
Yeah, I mean, there is. That's a wonderful program that's been core funded by, again, Tokatuake EQC for over a decade. And it's allowed us to bring a lot of scientists through as students at the universities, especially the University of Auckland. It's partnered and co-funded also by Auckland Council as a collaboration. And we've learned a lot. We worked out, you know, when we moved from knowing from how old about 15 of Auckland's volcanoes are to the vast majority. We now know pretty well when about 40 to 45 of the 53 Auckland volcanoes erupted. And we've got a pretty good feeling for where the magma is coming from, what it's coming through underground, and kind of what it does when it gets to the surface. And there's definitely a risk there. But I guess the key thing is it's a reasonably small chance of an eruption in a person's lifetime. Like I said, you know, every few hundred to few thousand years. So, you know, it's a few percent in a lifetime. But because we've got, say, a third of the population of New Zealand and more than that of the economy probably sitting on top of it, it's really important to local emergency management and to critical infrastructure lifelines to get plans in place and look at their, you know, their resilience and their redundancy. So we work a lot more with the city to make plans for that unlikely event, because it would be such a major event for the city. So not something people need to be too worried about, you know, day to day, but we're certainly doing a lot to prepare for that possibility, because an eruption could be anywhere in the city. We don't know where it might be.
I have a question here for you, Graham. Can you ask Graham about the Kaikohe Bay of Islands volcanic field?
Yeah, so that's a lovely set of volcanoes. It's actually it's very similar to the Auckland volcanic field. They're the two fields that are kind of active that we call basalt, like black rock, tends to give little scoria cones and lava flows. It's a lot less frequently active. It's been going on for longer. It's been going on for, you know, a few millions of years, but it doesn't seem to erupt that often. It might be tens or hundreds of thousands of years apart. We really haven't found an eruption in Northland that we're sure is all that young. It might have been hundreds of thousands of years since the most recent eruption is probably where my best guess is at the moment. But we're not saying it's dead. It's just really infrequently active.
And for you, Graham, as a career, what part of your working day excites you the most? What do you love about it?
That's a great thing for me to reflect on. I love getting out in the field, climbing volcanoes, taking rock samples, and I like just trying to understand how things work. I think I started out, I wasn't sure what I'd do, and I just wanted to understand how things work, and then realized I want to understand how the planet works, really. And so day to day, anytime we can learn a little more about how volcanoes work, how the plumbing system under them works, you know, almost like pipes, or how they might erupt and interact with society, I feel like we've learned something. And I really enjoy also working with our partners in civil defense emergency management for them to make plans so that people can make informed decisions and be kept safer around these volcanoes, you know. And also we get a lot from volcanoes with geothermal energy, with heat, hot pools, and just beautiful landscapes. So it's quite enjoyable just learning more about that and helping people to understand those landscapes that they love.
Yeah, true. What about the South Island? What are the Ring of Fire? Where is that affected in the South?
Yeah, so the South Island's a bit of an enigma. There are a lot of volcanic rocks in the South Island, but it's not near the plate boundary. So the Pacific Plate and the Australian Plate are pushing into each other, and that's what's pushing New Zealand out of the water, is a tiny bit of Te Rua Māui, the Zealandia continent. The tiny bit that's being pushed out is because of the plate boundary. That's giving us a classic of our arc of volcanoes in the North Island, but in the South Island, the plates are just sliding past each other and pushing up the high Alps. But there are volcanoes there, and it's not from the same process. There's kind of a weakly active area of volcanoes in the South Island. It runs from Banks Peninsula, which is, you know, extinct now, down to Dunedin, which is also extinct, but it's volcanic, and right out to the Chatham Islands. And every now and then, a little volcano just pops off through the crust there. There's just something a little bit leaky in that area. It might only be every million years, but you do have the odd volcano in the South Island. And I guess, although I said there isn't much subduction volcanism, you know, plate boundary volcanism in the South Island, there is one. Solander Island off of Invercargill is the only active volcano down there. There is a little brand new piece of subduction off of Fiordland, the youngest subduction zone, the youngest place where one plate's pushing down under another on the planet. And it's driving the very first volcano down there. And it's just sitting there mostly underwater. The bit that pokes above water is called Solander Island. So we don't think that's that frequently active, but we're definitely actively researching it.
I love that term, subduction zone, did you call it?
Subduction. Yeah, no, but it's quite easy. Quite easy to miss a letter.
Right. There's a little cynical message here that says, we all know how volcanoes work. All these experts in one place still can't tell you when the next one will be. Is that true?
That's totally true. We cannot predict the future. We're in a situation of understanding as much as we can about the past and what's happening in the present. And much like the weather, we're making forecasts about what might happen in the future. So rather than being able to predict exactly when a volcano might erupt or exactly how big it might be, what we're trying to do is refine those forecasts so we can be more certain, give more certainty around those forecasts of when something might happen and how big it might be, and especially what the impact might be, so that people can be prepared and so that civil defense emergency management can make the best decisions possible when we, you know, go into a situation where, for example, people might need to be evacuated.
Okay, so the conference ends with Volcano Fest?
Well, it does from Rotorua. Well, actually, no, we've got a really interesting connected meeting. So on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, we've got a lot of people from the World Meteorological Organization in town, and they're holding their volcanic ash and aviation workshop connected to this conference because there's already a bunch of volcanologists here. So they have a regular meeting where they talk about how volcanic ash might interact with airplanes and how we forecast where ash might go in the atmosphere so that airplanes can avoid it. So you can imagine that's pretty critically important with all the planes flying around. That'll be happening after the meeting. And then early next week, there'll still be some more field trips going on to volcanoes around the country to show off our beautiful volcanic landscape to our international visitors.
Brilliant. And for anyone who wants to get involved, come along on Thursday, wants to know more about it, is there a site they can go to? Website? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Look, if they just Google IAVSE 2023, so that's IAV CEI 2023, or they go to the GNS website and look at our media releases and updates, or even the GeoNet website. They can get links. And it's from 10 to 4:30 on Thursday, and especially at 10:30 and 2 p.m. there'll be some really dramatic experiments.
Good stuff. And just quickly, Rotorua, the accommodation and restaurants been pretty busy, I imagine, over the last week.
Yeah, they have. We got a note actually very early on in the planning. This has been delayed for a couple of years, so we've been planning and planning, and we were told make sure you reach out and let them know you're coming, because it is the biggest conference since the beginning of COVID. So we made a special effort to reach out to the hospitality organizations here, and they've done a great job. So on Monday night, we had 900 people out for dinner, and the restaurants were full but open and totally capable of handling all that capacity. So we're really glad to be able to bring some business into Rotorua, and they've done a great job, handling this surge of volcanic scientists.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And jandals and suits.
Yeah, jandals and suits, exactly.
Wonderful, Graham. Thanks so much for joining us and taking the time out to join us, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thanks, Karen.
That's co-convener and principal scientist at GNS Science, Graham Leonard, in Rotorua at the moment. He's Wellington-based, but he's in Rotorua for the country's biggest volcanologist conference. The country's biggest conference in 3 years. And as he said, hundreds of volcanologists and earth science from around the world in Rotorua at the moment.